The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic.
What is going on, football fans? It's your boy Jay Spence the King, and I am here tonight with my man Antoine Staley. My man Strolls for the Girls couldn't be with us, but we're going to keep it moving anyway. I want y'all to know that this is coming to you on Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Picasso Pizza. Treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza, shipping locally and nationwide. Order online at PicassoPizza.net. What is going on, my man Antoine? I've been waiting for this episode. I can't even hold you. Let me get this thing off the screen. I've been waiting, man.
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm good too. I'm good. I guess I've been waiting for this because I feel like over the course of this week, there's been some things that popped up that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk to them about. And the first one off the top is not NFL. I know everybody's used to us just talking NFL here, but yo, what the heck is going on out in, I don't even know where they are at this point, but the Golden State Warriors with
training camp. Training camp.
Like what is going on with him and Poole, man? Like this is wild.
Man, I mean, it's funny, like, it was this video surfacing, like, over the internet the last few days about how Draymond was talking about how Jordan Poole likes to talk a lot of trash and stuff like that to a lot of people and how he gets upset and how they want him to intervene, but yet, I guess he has said something to Draymond the wrong way, and man, I just to, you know, clock him like that, I mean, I'm like, man, like, that's something serious, so I don't know. Like, I don't know how you, I mean, I know stuff like this happened, obviously, back in the day before social media and all that. But, you know, now it's like gets magnified, you know, by mm-hmm. so because you see it over and over and over again, as opposed to when Jordan punched Steve Kerr, you know, years ago, back in the 90s, like he didn't have to see it all over again. You just heard about it that one time and then, you know, put it behind you. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they put this, you know, try to put this to rest, especially considering, I mean, they won a title last year. They're trying to, you know, repeat as champions theirs.
The part that gets me about it, like, obviously what you're saying about how, like, you got to relive it over and over now because of the day that we live in.
Yeah.
But, like, even a step past that, it's like, okay, Jordan punched Kerr. I feel like that was, like, the way they both described that situation, I feel like it was a different situation. Yeah. And, like, the part for me that I'm just uncomfortable with, it's like, we all grew up the way we grew up. I'm sure you've had playground fights, or I'm sure you've played on teams and had, you know, those scuffles in practice. I'm sure. But the thing is, it's like, that wasn't like the way I looked at how Draymond handled that, it wasn't like a teammate scuffle. Like this dude really, like he really mouthed him. Like this dude, you know, he folded him. And it, yeah. To me, like that, it was just too much, man. And I had some people, you know, kind of debating me on Twitter and all that stuff about how, well, you know, Poole shouldn't have pushed him. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like Draymond Green shouldn't have gotten his face.
Yeah, his face. Like you invaded that man's personal space. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm like, whoa, like, chill. Like, yeah, you can't, you get to a certain point of a man's face like that. Like, yeah. You just, like, if you ever been into a fight, you just know, like, okay, something about to pop off. Like, yeah, you just, right. Like, you get to a certain point, you're like, okay, like, I got to, you know, square up and get ready because something's about to happen. So, yeah, he pushed him and, you know, I don't blame him. Like, you don't get in somebody's personal space unless you're ready to start fighting.
Right. But okay, so then the thing is what you just said, like, you know, when you've been in a fight before, you kind of know. I feel like Jordan Poole was kind of in this space where it was like, we have practice. This is my team. Like, you know, like it just never escalates really to that level from your teammate. So I just think he has either that or has got like he just didn't anticipate anything. Like, man, we just talking stuff. Like we talk stuff every practice. So the whole thing for me is just like, you know, I don't feel like Draymond would have did like if he's playing on a team with Jimmy Buckets, he ain't stepping to Jimmy Buckets like that. Yeah, you're not stepping to Bron like that. Like, you know, and I'm not that Bron's a tough guy, but like there's certain people like you just know. So you do this to Jordan Poole. Like it actually made me lose a bit of respect for Draymond. And I love Draymond. Like to me, he's one of the you know, the new media. And I just love the energy of like now being able to get insight from professional players while they're still in the game. Like I wish we would have got that from Kobe or like even I mean, could you imagine in the 90s if Jordan after the game, he came off and then had a podcast to talk about. Oh, yeah, the flu game, man. This is what happened. Like live like that. Yeah. So I love Draymond. But this just was bad. Everything about this was bad.
It was too. I mean, it's just, you know, how do you recover for this, especially when you have to put together a 82 game season? Mm-hmm. Like I say, they played together, you know, last year and it went to the championship, but it's gonna be hard to try to put this behind them. I mean, you already got this hanging over your head, and you know, I mean, I know it's Steph's team. I know, like I say, he's the glue that, you know, brings everything together, but I don't know. I don't know how you get past something like this, especially when you have a emerging player like a Jordan Poole there who, I mean, he's vital. I mean, I think Draymond is vital to what they do too, but I think Poole is starting to emerge himself as, you know, another key contributor for the Warriors team as well.
I mean, yeah, last point about this, and then we can move on and get to some football. But I feel like you're right. Draymond is obviously a key contributor, but at the same time, I feel like his usage and the way they use him has diminished because the skill set is diminishing. Like he's getting older. Yeah. He's not a shooter. Like, so he's not going to come. He might give you that one game, you know, it's the classic once a season Draymond Grant game where he, you know, he'll come out and do what he does and end up giving you, you know, like he'll give you a 30 point game and 10 assists and 15 rebounds. It's like, where the hell did this come from? But other than that, like the dude, somebody said that he's trying to get traded to the Lakers. And I'm just like, nah, we already got Westbrook. Like to me, they're the same guy, except Westbrook is still more athletic. Like he's not going to, I don't think Westbrook is a shooter. He's not a scorer, but the defense, the assists, he'll give you those assists and he'll have those games where he gives you more points. I'd rather actually have him traded. I want that Indianapolis
book. Yeah, you want that money off the books. That's what you want, yeah.
Well, no, not even just him off the money off the books. The trade for Miles Turner and Buddy Hill, like, I want that. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
You guys and get the money off the books all day.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, yeah, of course the Lakers are like that. I mean, that's they need a shooter, and then they need another glue inside. Miles Turner, I mean, Miles Turner is one of the most underrated players in the league. I mean, he's averaged a double-double every single year he's been in the league, and he keeps getting better. And he's a great shot blocker, which is something also the Lakers could need. Because, I mean, I know they got AD, but, you know, you can't really rely on him for 82 games as we all come to custom. And, of course, you know, being a Laker fan. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, going back, taking it back to Golden State, yeah, I just don't. Yeah, Draymond definitely not the same guy that he used to be as far as a player. I mean, defense, even his defense has started to diminish a little bit too. I mean, you talk about a guy that former defensive player of the year, you know, shot blocker, you know, even to give you an occasional three-pointer every now and then. But, yeah, definitely not the same put guy that he used to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if they definitely were to trade him, to be completely honest with you, just to try to get something for him. Because I don't know how – it's going to be, like I said, I think it's going to be really hard to move on from this if he, you know, continues to be on the roster.
I agree. I think because, again, like, you know, you can't ruin that type of chemistry. Like coming off a championship, trying to go into a season to defend it. It's just like it's tough as it is to defend a championship.
Yeah.
And now you're going to throw in this wrench of jacking up the – okay, whatever. We're moving on. Like I said, I just wanted to get your opinion on that because I think Draymond is out of his mind, man. Like what
– yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so let's get to the NFL, man. It's some fun games coming up this week, which I feel like we need because Thursday night was a snooze fest. And I know, listen, Denver's not your team. It's not my team. But let's talk for a second. What the heck is going on with Russell Wilson? Like, I know Nathaniel Hackett, like Sterling said last week, we're not going to say Nate because he didn't deserve it yet. So Nathaniel Hackett, like he's not making good decisions as a coach, But you would think that a player of the caliber of Russell Wilson that we've seen over the years would still be able to figure this out when you got a Jerry Jeudy, a Cortland Sutton, and, you know, like, so what is going on with this team?
I think part of it is coaching. I don't think he's putting Russell Wilson and that team in the best position to succeed. I mean, just look at some of the play calling. Look at the fourth down call. I mean, I know Russell Wilson missed the play, but yeah, I didn't necessarily like that. You go back to a play earlier on third down, they ran it right in the middle. I'm like, you know, that's kind of – I wouldn't even do that on Madden, like, to be honest with you. And then you're just gonna run it up the middle on the short yard situation like that. Yeah, just – it's no creativity. Like, he's not doing – it looks like a guy that's just learning on the fly that had no – like, he didn't even call plays at Green Bay. Like, Matt LaFleur was calling plays. And yeah, it's kind of the same thing, like, when I was covering the Dolphins, Joe Philbin got hired by Miami. He didn't ever call plays for Aaron Rodgers. He was trying to learn stuff on the fly. They thought, oh, well, he worked with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he'll be able to rub off and, you know, be a good CEO. And he wasn't. Like, because you weren't in the trenches. Like, you weren't in those situations. Like, Matt LaFleur is the one that's going through those situations with Aaron Rodgers. You're just the guy that's game planning throughout the course of the week, too. Now, I know, like I said, there's certain instances where guys that hadn't called plays that have been successful. I know, you know, Kyle Shanahan has, you know, mostly calls plays, and Mike McDaniel, you know, did a little bit of that in San Francisco, but mostly that was, you know, in the hands of Kyle Shanahan. But yeah, this guy just, you know, I didn't think he deserved the job in the first place. I just thought he got handed to him because, one, nepotism. You know, his father was a coach in the league, and, you know, he was able, you know, to do the fast track and, you know, get an assistant job and, of course, be a head coach in the league. And two, you know, you're around Andrew Rodgers, you're automatically going to get, you know, these job offers or, you know, job interviews. So I think that's part of it. Russell obviously isn't playing very well either. You know, I think he's trying to do too much. And, you know, I think all these people, what I find interesting too about Russell, and I'm sure, you know, you probably saw Kyle Brandt's comments yesterday about Russell Wilson. I just feel like people are just trying to take shots at him, and they're making it personal too. Like, he's not playing well. Like, I think we all could agree with that, but just try to take personal shots at him. Like, I just feel like that's kind of, you know, a bit of a low blow. Yeah.
You don't have to say it this way. You're more professional than me, but that's a lame thing to do. Like,
yeah,
I agree with you. It's perfectly fine to critique his game. He hasn't been playing well. That's all open. That's fair game. But when you bring in his wife and the fact that, like, his person, like, don't do that, man. Like, now as far as character, if you're going to talk about in the locker room, if they're saying the team isn't, if they don't fool with him because of that, that's one thing. But to come out and, like, bash him in Sierra, and then can I'll take it a step further. Is Richard Sherman corny, or is it just me?
I mean, I don't think him and Russell really, you know, get along very well, even though they were teammates for a while. So, yeah, I think part of it is kind of, yeah, I can see him being a little corny. I mean, I always thought that about Richard Sherman because, you know, he has, like, I guess he plays like a role, like, and I guess he still kind of does that a little bit on TV too as well. I mean, but really when he was playing, like, he's kind of plays that, if you watch wrestling, like a heel type of role. Like, he was always, that was always his type of character out there on the football field. I think he's great. I mean, obviously intelligent, smart guy. I mean, he went to Stanford for, you know, crying out loud. So we know how smart he is. But yeah, he could definitely be a little, I guess you could say corny. I definitely think that could be a word you could use to describe him. I was trying to think of another word. But yeah,
but that's where I'm at, because I'm just like, ain't no way. Like, so, you know, the way he's talking, like, okay, so after the game, like, he had this whole outburst, like, run the ball. And first of all, Russell Wilson isn't calling the plays. Exactly. Like, that's first.
Correct.
And just like at the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson wasn't calling the plays.
Correct.
So it's like to come out and again, he's not playing well, but like to have this whole outburst, run the ball, like, dude, what are you doing? And then he got this energy on his podcast, and then they have this clip pregame where they out there shaking hands. And I get it. It's the professional. Hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. We know they don't feel each other. Exactly. But that energy you had on the podcast, you didn't have that in person. And now after they lose, you want to rub it in his, come on, man. Like, to
and
me,
we live just that moment too, which was almost 10, almost like 8-9 years ago or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, it's not his fault that they, I mean, he threw the interception, but it's not his fault. He, you know, the play was called, was made. just like it wasn't his call. The play calls was made in the Denver game either. So, yeah, I mean, he needs to be accountable to. He needs to be held accountable not playing well. But I just feel like people have been waiting to take shots at Russell Wilson, and all of a sudden, when he's not playing well, it's just, you know, all it's open season now, and people are ready just to, you know, tee off on him. And I don't think that's right.
I don't either, and I agree with you. Same thing what you said about Kyle Brandt. And I like Kyle. I think he's like a Bills. He's a Bills guy. So, you know, like, not really. He plays the role. He'll be a Bills fan when it's cool and when it needs to. And then when something happens, he tries to, well, I think the Bills are in trouble. Now, I need you to be on that Mike Raab energy. I need the way Mike Raab rides with the team. Don't be flip flopping. But like I said, I like him. But that whole thing felt personal, and it wasn't. To me, the move to make, especially being in a position that he is, man.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, yeah, if you're gonna be in that position, as I know he's not a traditional journalist or, you know, video, whatever, but you can't make things personal. Well, no matter, like, you know how many times players have said things to me that I didn't like, but still, I don't necessarily hold it against them. It might just they had a bad moment, they had a bad day or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I try not to hold. Just because somebody didn't want to talk to you during the interview, you know, when you're trying to interview, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to hold it against you. I mean, you just can't take certain things personally, especially in this business.
Well, I mean, if I'll be honest with you, like, there's some people, so there are Bills players. I have a good relationship with a lot of them. You know, there are some who just don't do media. And it doesn't mean that they're standoffish. They'll speak to you in other situations, but they don't want to do media. And you have to respect that. It's not... You know, people take things personally because they don't want to interview her. But first of all, Sierra is a star. So, yeah. Like, with him trying to take a shot at him and Sierra about trying to act like Jay-Z and Beyonce. No, if that man's wife says, yeah, I don't really want to be. If he made a decision for his wife, I'm not going to hold that against him. Like, it's just craziness. Hey, whatever. Let's move on from it. The game was a snooze fest, man. Yes. Like, in awe. Indianapolis Colts, I'm disappointed with. I know Jonathan Taylor was out, but even when he's been in this season, he ain't been playing well. And I thought they were going to win that division, and I thought they were going to do it easily. At this point, I feel like it might be Jacksonville, and I don't like saying that. Like, I don't like saying that. Where are you at with Jacksonville?
I think they're the best team in that division. I, you know, look at the Colts, and I mean, I think, like you said, Jonathan Taylor has to play well, but I think a lot of that has to do with their offensive line. The offensive line, like, was a strength of theirs last year. Some changes have been made there. Sure, you still got Quentin Nelson, but, I mean, it's become a weakness. So mm-hmm. when that becomes a weakness, not only, you know, you're not having the running game that you're able to have, but, you know, Matt Ryan, who's also, you know, a bit of a sitting duck back there, also very old, I mean, old in NFL age anyway, you know, he's been they're teeing off on him. And then he's getting, you know, has happy feet in the pocket, and then he's making a lot of bad decisions. So I think it's a extension of that. I think that's where it starts, their issues on the offensive line, and then it trickles down to the running game, not being able to run the ball effectively. And also, Matt Ryan's not playing well either. And then they keep trying these quarterbacks, these veteran quarterbacks. At some point, I mean, you just got to groom a young guy. That's what they need to do. Like, instead of trying to, you know, go to the well and Carson Wentz, and, you know, Matt Ryan's doing a worse job than Carson Wentz did last year. Like, you thought you were getting an upgrade? Like, no, you actually downgraded, you know, Matt Ryan. And now you're going to have to figure out what to do after this season, too.
Man, I thought they was up. I did. I was one of the ones, man, Matt Ryan's still one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history. The dude is, and he just embarrassing the hell out of me. Like, this dude is out here looking like, you know, you said worse than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he already has the same amount of interceptions as Carson Wentz had all of last year at 7. So, and we still
have 7 interceptions?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's even worse than that. Like, and I've been watching him. I guess I just haven't put that together.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this, though. Well, do you think they regret not? This is a rhetorical question in a way. Do you think they regret not getting Baker?
No, I think you're I think you'd be in the same position. But
yeah
it's kind of lateral. They're both lateral at this point. At least Matt Ryan has been good in this league for an extended period of time. He's just his skills are just diminishing. Baker Mayfield really had, you know, a year or two where I think he had a really solid season. And then, you know, Carolina, which they have a ton of weapons. I mean, they have weapons with, you know, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. He's just not – it's not working out to the point where Panther fans want Sam Darnold back immediately, from what I understand.
I think Sam Darnold is the better of the two. I know he had a rough time. You know, I get it. He had a rough time in New Jersey out there. You know, he had a rough time now. Like this last year, he had some injuries and stuff. But I think he started off decent. And then he had a couple games that is like, and then the injuries. I think Sam Darnold is better than Baker. Now I'm a Baker hater. I make that known. I don't think he's good. I haven't thought he was good. But it's just hilarious how all of these things work out, man. So let's move on to a not so fun game. I know for you it's a personal thing. You don't like to talk about it right now, but Monday Night Football is going to be a it's going to be a game that I feel like I'm going to enjoy. It's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I think, and I don't know if this is me trying to be hopeful for you and everybody else I know who are Raiders fans, but I think the team is better than their record. I really do. But I don't understand how they haven't put it together when now you have the best receiver in football, a top five tight end, a good running game. Josh Jacobs played well last week. You know, I think he had like 140 something yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Great game. You know, great game. I hope he can do that again this week and my fantasy team needs it. But what to your, as a fan, as a, you know, a little, I ain't gonna say it too much more because I understand you have work allegiances now. But you know, why does it confuse me? Like, why is this team not good?
Well, I think you chase the system from, you know, Derek Carr, who was, you know, he was comfortable in one thing, and now, you know, Josh McDaniels comes in and then he's trying to learn a new system, and you know, also braille chemistry with Devontae Adams, and you know, also have all these moving parts. The offensive line still isn't very good. So you also have to deal with that too. So it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And then, you know, you have to navigate the schedule that they've had to deal with too as well. And now you got, you know, you beat the Broncos who, you know, I can't believe I thought they were a playoff team before the year started, but it is what it is. Like, but you know, now you got the challenge of playing the Kansas City Chiefs there on Monday Night Football. And, you know, definitely not a tall task considering how Kansas City lit up the scoreboard against Tampa Bay last week. So I think it's just a combination game. And the defense, too. I don't think their defense is very good either. I know they have Max Crosby there. Also, Chandler Jones, who they picked up, too, from, you know, as well in free agency. But, yeah, I just don't think the team is – they have a lot of good complementary parts and skill position players. But as a unit – I just don't think they're, you know, collectively good right now. And Derek Carr is not playing well. So when you add all that in, you know, I thought they'd probably be a last place team in that division, which is, you know, crazy for me to say. But, you know, considering how bad Denver is, you know, they might still finish in third place. But I don't know if that's going to be good enough to get them to the playoffs.
I don't think it will be, because even, you know, like being three games back in that division, I see the Chiefs obviously not being as explosive as they have been, you know, but I still think that they're winning games and, you know, they're not going to go on one of those things where they lose four in a row. That's not happening. The Chargers are still kind of winning, even with injuries and even with all this stuff. I think they're going to win tomorrow, you know, so I don't know. I think it's tough for the Raiders this year, man. And it's unfortunate because like I said, they made moves over the offseason. You do a big time move to get Adams and then Chandler Jones from Arizona. And it's just not working out. And I don't get it, but we'll see. How do you think that game's going to go?
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath. Like the Chiefs are going to kill them. Like, I just think it's going to be, that's how it usually goes when these two teams get together. I think the Raiders have beaten them one time and that time in Arizona, I mean, in Kansas City, where they took the lap around the stadium and on the bus and all that. And the Chiefs never forgot that. And I thought that was the dumbest thing they ever done. They've done in, you know, like 20 years, and that's really saying something about the Raiders franchise. But yeah, I think it's going to be not a good thing. I think the Chiefs win by at least two touchdowns.
Yeah, you don't want to motivate a team like the Chiefs to come in and smack on you. Like you just don't. Like it's bad enough that they are a good team and they got, you know, once you motivate them in a different way, it's like, okay, there's just
a wrap. It's a wrap. Yeah.
Let's talk about the team that you cover now, man. The New York Jets is, I think you're home, right? Yeah, the Jets are at home against the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
And we talked about this a little before we went live here, but the spread is 3. And I said to you, I'm shocked that the spread is so close. And you was like, well, what do you think it should be? And I'm like, I think the Dolphins are going to beat them. But, and you like, what? So let's talk about that for a second. Because I, honest to God, man, I think even with Teddy Bridgewater being, I think Broncos fans right now would rather have Teddy Bridgewater starting than Russell Wilson, the way he's played. Well, yeah. So, I mean, so I just feel like Teddy, I get it. He's not the starter that's a franchise changer, but he's not the guy losing games for you either. And I just think when you have weapons like Waddle and Hill and that running game and Gesicki, I just honestly, I know, I don't know. I really think the Dolphins still are going to beat them by like 10 points.
I just don't. Like, I think when you have like, and yeah, I think Tyreek Hill is, you know, he's also banged up along with Jalen Waddle as well. And I think their offense is going to be different on Sunday. I think they're going to try to run the ball a little bit more and try to take some pressure off of Teddy so they don't have to rely on a lot of the home run plays that they usually do with Tua. I think the difference in this game is going to be can they get pressure on Zach Wilson? You know, I think you saw it in the game against the Steelers. When the Steelers were able to get pressure on him, you know, Wilson, you know, kind of clams up at times and, you know, makes bad decisions. If the Dolphins can do that consistently, then I think they would win. I think if the Dolphins were completely healthy, I agree with you. I think they would win by 10, 13 points probably, you know, at least. You know, I just think they're a better team and better roster. However, like, I just think that, you know, considering, you know, the momentum and, you know, Teddy starting, I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game, probably, you know, maybe like a 2017 type of deal. And I can see the Jets squeaking it out. I really can. I mean, I think they have the ability to get pressure on Teddy Bridgewater, you know, possibly force some mistakes there too as well. The Dolphins' pass defense has been terrible anyway, and that's with Xavier Howard. And Howard may or may not play. You know, he's dealing with two groin injuries. You know, that's never good for any, you know, I don't care how good you are. Like, he hasn't been the same all year. He left the game against the Bengals in the third quarter because of the injuries. So even if he does play, he's going to be less than 100%. And I think they're going to be able to take advantage of that with Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis. And I think they're going to be able to do just enough. I'm not going to sit here and say the Jets are a playoff team. But, you know, if they win this game, and they're 0-12 in their last 2 years in divisional play in the AFC East. So this is a big deal. I know Robert Saleh tried to downplay it this week, saying it's just another game, but you know, they know they need to win these divisional games, and it starts here. And if they can get the 3-2, you know, the Dolphins are also 3-2, you know, the Bills, you know, being right there too as well. So
we'll be 4-1. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we'll be 4-1.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it would help. It would help the Bills out if they end up beating them. But still, like, at that point, it's like, you know, you start to look at the Jets a little bit differently, you know, with that 3-2 mark after five games, especially considering how tough their early season schedule was.
Well, I like Zach Wilson. I've said all along, like, I think it's going to take some time, but looking at him and looking at all the things that he can do, the way he's built, the way his arm, like, he throws when I watch him throw the ball, you know, I don't have any issues that I can point out with, like, his mechanics and with all that. Like, the guy is good. I think part of it is now you have some weapons, and I think we saw last week with him coming back how he was able to – it was a sloppy game, but he was still able to figure it out enough to squeak out the win. And, you know, I mean, he got their quarterback benched. He got Pittsburgh's quarterback benched. So I feel like, you know, look, you give that guy enough time to really develop and figure it out, and the team believes in him. Now he has a good running back there. He has some receivers that believe in him. I like him. I just honestly don't think tomorrow, I don't think they'll beat the Dolphins. But we'll see. I mean, you watch them more closely than I do now. So, you know, it's like I'll take your word for it. But
I wouldn't be surprised either way. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins won, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets won. I really think it's going to be a close game. I truly believe that. And like I say, I thought the Jets coming into the year were a 7-win team. They win tomorrow, then, you know, we'll see. I won't say they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but, you know, 7-8 wins, you know, not out of the realm of possibility, especially considering their schedule later on this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on from that game. And you mentioned the Bengals. The Bengals are going up. They're going to Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I think that's the Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Okay. So that game to me is interesting. I've said to you before, and actually we did like the chop up, and then we had to switch it up because of the Tua injury. So we redid it and you weren't on that episode. So I know you already know how I feel about the Bengals. So I'm going to say it again. So that way, if anybody is not familiar, I don't think the Bengals are a good team. I don't think the Bengals make the playoffs. I didn't think the Bengals would have made the playoffs last year if Lamar Jackson didn't get hurt. I think that they got to the playoffs, and I can't even say they got hot at the right time. I think that because if you look at, I think they had four offensive touchdowns the entire playoffs. I just don't think that's the way to sustain. And I also, like, they're not a dominant team. So going into this game, I think Lamar Jackson is probably ticked off that they lost to Buffalo the way that they did. I think it's probably one of those things where it's like, y'all coming to Baltimore. We're not losing twice in a row in Baltimore. It's not happening. So to me, I got Baltimore smacking these kids. Like, how do you see this game playing out tomorrow night?
I mean, didn't the Ravens – didn't they lose two games about – they lost to the Dolphins to and both the Bills.
Dolphins and the Bills, yep.
So this would be – yeah. I like the Ravens, too. I just think they're the better team in the division. Now, I still think the Bengals could make the playoffs. I mean, I know they started 0-2, and, you know, the statistics with teams starting 0-2, making the playoffs is kind of really not in their favor. But if anybody were to do it, especially in that division, they certainly could, because I definitely think, you know, they have the weapons offensively. I know Joe Burrow hadn't necessarily played very well. I think they started to get things going against the Jets, you know, started to look more like themselves. You know, it would have been interesting to see if Tua would have stayed in the whole game against Miami, because I definitely think the game would have been a lot closer than, you know, than what it really was, you know, at least on the scoreboard. But, yeah, I mean, I still think the Bengals are probably a playoff team, but I'm not necessarily, you know, certain that they are, considering that they still have some of the same issues that they had last year that they haven't solved with the offensive line. They had four new starters, but guess what? They still people are still pressuring Joe Burrow the way that they are. Mm-hmm. It's just the Dolphins weren't able to take advantage of that, which I found, like, you know, crazy that they weren't. But yeah, if the Ravens can get pressure on Burrow, then it's going to be a wrap. I think, you know, Lamar Jackson's obviously a man on a mission right now. He's definitely, you know, believing himself and, you know, playing for that big contract. And I think they're going to make a statement there on national TV. So yeah, I like Baltimore on this one.
Yeah, he's going to get that bag, and I want him to get that bag.
Yeah.
But, well, let me ask you this, because you just said you still think Cincinnati will make the playoffs.
They could. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with that. But, yeah.
Well, because this is where I'm at with it. It's like, so if they don't win a division, which I don't think they will, if Lamar Jackson stays healthy, I think it's Baltimore's division. So okay. if they don't win a division as a wild card, the AFC is stacked, man. Like, I still feel like it's probably.
Are they, though? I don't know if it's as stacked as what we thought it was, though.
I do. I think it's early. So, like, you have some games that didn't bounce certain ways. And it's like, okay, some teams are 2-2 that you didn't expect. But it's like, you didn't expect the Jaguars to kind of be this team that they are. You know, they'll win the division in my. Now, looking at the Colts and looking at the Texans, you know, so they'll win a division. So, outside of that, obviously. You got the four division winners, and then you got the wild cards. So, what? Maybe the Chargers? I don't know, but it's like
Chargers,
the
Chargers,
Dolphins,
and you know, think
the
last
team can be
maybe
Cincinnati?
Maybe the Titans. Maybe I don't. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. You got three wild cards. Like, they could get one of those three wild cards.
Okay,
well, who else is it though? Like, who could it? It ain't the Raiders, I can tell you that right now. So
it ain't the Raiders, and it ain't the Broncos. You're right. It ain't. But you know what? The Broncos are still winning.
They
lost this week, but I mean, like, they're 2-2. Like, there's a lot of 2-2
teams.
They're
still in the mix.
Right.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, it's like, yeah, if like from the outside, we're just talking about it, it's like, yeah. But when you look at the teams who could figure it out, I still – and it, I guess this is where I'm at.
Well, they're 2-3 now, actually, the Broncos, because they
because of Thursday. Yeah. But so 2-3, I still think they can figure that out. Like, to the point, like, I don't know. You mentioned the Titans,
man. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's so much mystery. Like, with that, if it was two wild cards, then I would agree with you. I'd be like, yeah, I don't think they're gonna get in. But the third, like, it's so much, you know, up in the air. Like, one of those mediocre teams has to get in. Like, why can't it be Cincinnati?
You're right. I just, like I said, I don't feel like they're good, man.
They might be the seventh seed, but I think I would pick them over the Titans, and I would pick them over the Broncos and Raiders right now. If you're asking me, you know, at this moment.
I feel you. I'll tell you what, if Derrick Henry is who he was last week, if he gets back to that form and he's Derrick Henry again, it ain't Cincinnati.
Okay, though. I agree with that. I mean, they could win the division if he gets back to where he was. So,
yeah. But then if that's the case, then I'm giving Jaguars that wild card spot.
Okay,
so because I think they play him, man. The Jaguars look good, like way better than I thought. Christian Kirk is looking like he's embarrassing a lot of people with those takes that oh, they gave him too much money. He's not a true number one. He looks like a number one wide receiver out there. So
and they played well against the Eagles. I mean, they played really well. I mean, I know they lost the game, but they played particularly well, so they'll be able to play a team that everybody, well, a lot of people are crowning at the moment, at least in the NFC, then I think that says something.
How do you think that game's going to go? Tomorrow they come to Arizona and they're actually going up against the Arizona Cardinals. They're the last undefeated team. Kyler Murray has not looked good. He needs DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he need Hop. I don't care what nobody say. When Hop is there, the offense looks different. And I know Hollywood Brown, people out here in Phoenix are excited. They feel like Hollywood Brown is better. And like he's, listen, I don't know. I don't get it because I don't see that. But
yeah, okay.
How do you think this game is going to go tomorrow? Because I watched the Eagles and I'll be honest, I have questions. They're undefeated.
So do I.
But I have questions. I don't think that they're as good as their record shows, but I don't want to be a hater and just like try to. You know, they're 4-0. They're the best team in the NFC right now. Technically, the best team by record in the NFL. So I'm not going to hate on them. But I don't think they are who their record shows.
I think they have been a product of a weak schedule, but they just, you know, you play the teams that you know, mm-hmm. will be lined up against. So you got to give them props. They're winning, you know, so a lot of teams don't win the games that they're supposed to, but they're winning. If you're asking me if they're going to come out the NFC, then I would probably say no, just because like I still have some, you know, questions with as good as, you know, Jalen Hurts has played, you know, how is he going to perform on a big stage in the playoffs and, you know, their offense, can they continue to keep the ball rolling there? So the jury's still out for me with the Eagles. I still think they're a playoff team and possibly going to win that division. Although, you know, the Cowboys are still lurking around there, especially considering, you know, the injury to Dak, you know, they're not going in a way. So it looks like it's going to be two teams out in the AFC East. But yeah, as far as tomorrow there, I think it's going to be a very high scoring game. I think I might go with the Cardinals there. I really do. Like, you know, at some point, you're going to lose games, you know, in this league. And I think it's, you know, I know a lot of people have been gassing up the Eagles there, but, you know, I know the Cardinals have not necessarily played well with Murray. And, you know, like you say, you're missing Hopkins, but I figure like they have enough offensively to be able to stay with the Eagles, at least for four quarters. So I'm going to pick the upside in this one and take Arizona.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think the spread was 5.5. And I took the Cardinals to win that one at home. So, all right, let's. I feel like it was a couple games that I said I wanted to talk about. Let's round this out. Let's end this out. Get your take on this Bills game. It's a huge, spread. Coming to the like they opened up at 14 and then they went up to 14.5. There's some injuries. My dog Jordan Poyer is out. Tremaine Edmonds didn't practice all week, so we don't know if it's gonna be a game time decision for him with his hamstring. So there's been some things that have happened. We're short some receivers. Isaiah McKenzie's gonna come back. Crowder's on injured reserve now because of his broken ankle. So there's some things happening. On the flip side, you look at Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, I like him. I'm not even going to sit here and throw shade his way. He's a rookie, but I like him. And I know we threw some interceptions, but I feel like that was just a result of like taking chances that
a lot of was his fault either. Like I watched that game last week, obviously, you know, I was in Pittsburgh. A lot of those were not his fault. Like some of them were some drop passes. Some of them was just, you know, one of them was a Hail Mary, you know, at the end of the game. So yeah,
Claypool got to do better too. Claypool got to go. He got to be a dog.
Yeah, I am surprised like he hasn't emerged the way that I thought he would. I mean, Devontae Johnson has been really good for them, and you know they have a heck of a tight end too as well. And Najee Harris has played. He played really well. I feel like they should have beat the Jets last week. I really do. I just feel like instead of them running the ball with Harris, which the Jets couldn't stop him. I mean, he was getting like 5 yards a pop. They tried to get cute and start throwing the ball and then pick it through an interception. So, and then that really, the Jets went down and scored the game with a touchdown. So, yeah, I think the Bills are going to have their way with the Steelers. I just think it's so many issues that they're having with the offensive line. And, you know, obviously they'll have a week to prepare Kenny Pickett, you know, do some things that, you know, suits him well. But, you know, the Bills are just too strong. I still think they're the best team in the AFC. And I think they'll prove it against the inferior Steelers team.
You think they cover the 14.5?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I do too. And not even like I mentioned the defensive players out, but I just feel like this is the best weather Josh Allen has played in since the Tennessee game. And, you know, because the heat in Miami, I know I'm not using it as an excuse, but what I'm saying is I wasn't mad at the team for losing that game. I was in Miami. There's no way I'm going to be mad at the team for that game, man. Like, I was sitting in the stands, and I probably spent $60 just on water, and it wasn't enough for me. And they were playing in it. You know what I mean? So, like, there's no way I'm – no way. But
and then you used to the desert, too. I mean, that's a different type of heat down there in South Florida. Man, I live in the South, so I grew up in the South. I lived in Miami for years, so.
It was suffocating, man. Like, it was seriously, like, just sitting there. I had the fan on me, and I didn't do nothing. I took a bottle of water and just poured it on me. That didn't do – like, it relieved – like, it was like a couple minutes of relief.
It's vaporizing hot. It's vaporizing, like, yeah.
So I couldn't be mad at the Bills. Stephon Diggs said he had two IVs in his arm during halftime. Like, one in each arm. That's – nah. So I'm not mad. But when you look at the game against the Titans, and even technically if you look at the L.A. game, when Josh, like, can play without those type of – and he played well to me last week as well, even in the rain. There was a lot of drop passes that first interception was not on him. You know, I feel like those things should be changed to fumbles or something. Like, when it goes through the receiver's hands – I don't know how those go again, but I get it. For years, they've always gone against the quarterback. So, but it's like, I feel like Josh is playing well. He's protecting the ball more. I just, with this type of weather at home, you know, I just don't see the defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers stopping. Like,
with T.J. Watt either. So, Alex Highsmith has still done a good job getting pass rush there. But outside of him, I mean, I think, you know, him and Cam Haywood, I mean, that's really the big keys you have to worry about them defensively. Without T.J. Watt, I mean, it definitely takes away another element from their defense, and they're just not the same team without them.
All right. Well, y'all heard it on the chop up. The Bills are still going to be dominating. We're going to be 4-1. My man, Antoine, and he covers the Jets, and he's giving us his props on the reel. Yo, any music that I should throw on my playlist? You know, I do my game day playlist now. Anything that you think I should be listening to for tomorrow and throw out there?
I meant to ask you this last week. Did you listen to the Freddie Gibbs?
I have, and I like it. I have nothing to complain about other than, like, I just wish that him and Benny would stop beefing. That's it.
It's pretty tight, though. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been on recently.
Yeah, no skips. I don't feel like there's any skips on that. Have you listened to Rome Streets?
Yeah, I did.
I feel like that one was okay. It wasn't as great as I thought. It's good. Like, it's a really good album, but it's not what I thought it was going to be. Like, I was looking forward to, like, him really just coming on there and, you know, just – I thought it was his time. And maybe this is the album before his time. I don't know, but we'll see. So,
yeah, some tracks on there. Yeah, I'm kind of messing with, but it was all right.
Yeah, so I'm with it. So look, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Chop Up on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network with my man Antoine Staley. Shout out to my man Sterles for the girls. He's going to be back next week. We're going to figure this out to where all three of us can be here together.
We got to talk about that too, the schedule too, because I travel next week as well. So yeah, we got to definitely figure that out.
So we'll get that straightened out tonight. But like I said, I just I want to get, because when we did the one and we had to switch it up, the energy on that show was perfect. So I really, really want to make sure we do that. So you got any final thoughts, or you want to let everybody know where they can find your work for tomorrow and beyond?
It's my name, Antoine Staley, on Twitter. It's pretty simple. Or find my work at the New York Daily News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, follow my guy. Y'all know y'all can find me, J. Spence the King. Right here it says J. Spence the Sad King, because my man Tremaine has been out and Jordan's not playing. So other than that, but I'm good. But that hurt. But listen. Y'all do y'all thing. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Don't drink and drive. Love each other. Okay, let's have some fun. Go Bills.